Welcome to today's live retail online integration webinar titled Turbocharging Your E-Commerce Conversion, sponsored by Trustee. My name is Melissa Campanelli, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration, and I'll be the host and moderator for today's event. You're in luck because we have two great speakers today. We have Tim Ash, the CEO of SiteTuners, and Andrea Stenzel, the Senior Manager of Online Marketing at Trustee. A catalog is not a catalog. There are huge inefficiencies in your current e-commerce templates. This session will detail what you need to know about creating a high-converting e-commerce site. Join us for this webinar today and learn why you can't treat your e-commerce site like a catalog, the four critical site components that will turn browsers into buyers, how to turn your homepage into a high-converting landing page, and why your on-site search results can make or break a sale. Before we get started, however, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the widgets and bells and whistles on the console. Speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today.
If we can jump to the About Trustee slide, that would be super. I'll give a little intro, give some best practices and tips you can use today with your site and marketing efforts. And then we'll jump into Tim's section to learn how to turbocharge your e-commerce efforts. So a little about Trustee. Our name speaks trust. We've been doing this for 14 years, since the mid-90s, where we were building trust online. And you can see by these customer logos, we work with many of you that are online today, so thank you for your support. And we've amassed about 4,000 customers globally now. Just as we get started in this, go ahead and chat into the chat box what you think Trustee does. In a couple words, let us know what you think we do, okay? We serve around 500 million of our seals every day around the world, and an interesting thing we do, okay, I see the chat's coming in now, is over 1 million of the visitors to the various sites you see on this slide actually verify what these client sites are doing every month by clicking on the Trustee logo. So thank you for chatting in. And what we actually do is we provide privacy programs and services for websites, for mobile, for advertisers. And so this 1 million people per month are actually checking to see if these client sites are doing what they say they're doing with the data they collect, which is your personal information. So it's very interesting to see these people. There's a great interest among consumers in privacy these days, and I'm sure you've seen the press lately. So jumping in, these online privacy risks are rapidly evolving, and we're here to help help businesses mitigate these risks. There's industry self-regulation efforts around online privacy specific to advertising and a couple other areas, data management, data collection, or other ones. There's government interest now. So the FTC is now getting involved. The Department of Commerce has been involved for some time. Consumers and the press, like I just mentioned, are involved, as well as the browsers who are stepping up to ensure there are ways to deliver notice and choice and transparency to the consumers, to the end users, about what sites and networks are doing with their information. Okay. So jumping into a few tips and tricks that you can use today, we'll focus on the marketing levers that really matter. This is the crux of Tim's presentation. I'll give a few tips you can jump into your business with today. So start from the bottom up. Invest into the lower funnel of your efforts and work your way up. That's the bulk of this presentation. And consider these investments as a percentage of your overall advertising and marketing spend. When we talk about tuning up your site, tuning up your landing pages, beefing up your privacy and preference practices, it's really a small percentage of what you're likely investing into your overall marketing and sales efforts. So consider that when you look at this. Okay, so I'll start with three areas where you can build trust and accelerate trust today. So one is with your site, one is your email marketing, and one is your advertising. So a quick site checklist, and as Melissa mentioned, you'll get a copy of these slides delivered to you after the presentation or maybe tomorrow. So for your website, you want to have industry-leading privacy best practices. So consider having a strategy. We see larger organizations with a solid privacy and preferences strategy. This is a good thing to do. It doesn't take a lot of time, but it will keep you out of trouble if you're thinking about this stuff and touching it on a regular basis. Make the privacy and preference activities like opting in or opting out of email marketing or out of other types of marketing easy to use for consumers. Have them active and well communicated. So in your email marketing, you're supposed to have an opt-out link. Have a link to the preference center too. Have a link on your site and certainly on your privacy policy page that lets people opt in or out or up or down to your marketing practices. Okay. Make things accessible, like I mentioned, for your email and your ads. Okay, onto your email checklist. For email marketing, it's one of the most powerful, low-cost marketing vehicles you likely have. You've invested a lot of money and time into building this email database, so consider industry-leading preference practices. Again, make this easy to find, not just in the email, but accessible from your site and other avenues. Make this an opt-up and opt-down mechanism. So allow people to opt into newsletters and events and maybe special promos, but also opt out of those if they'd like, and maybe they want to hear product information, but not so much marketing information. So, and then keep your promises. If you do set up one of these preference sites, a lot of email service providers have this built in already, do keep your promises and filter those folks in or out as they've requested. Lastly, your media checklist. This is where a lot of spend goes. It's usually top of funnel, and we strongly recommend, and we're seeing this really catch on this year, that people are looking for ways to opt themselves in and out of certain types of advertising, mainly display advertising. So again, have a strategy around this company-wide. You can include your partner networks as well into this. Have it be pretty comprehensive and proactive wherever possible. We'll get into this more in a minute. And again, easy to use, active, and well communicated. So have this updated regularly to reflect new changes in regulations, in advertising technologies that you may be using. Involve all the relevant groups, your web team, as well as your partner network, as well as your sales team, if they're using different tools or applications to collect information from people. This is a company-wide strategy you want to employ. And have it, of course, reflected on your main website as well. Okay, so jumping into the details of what we do, we help companies proactively mitigate risk, ensure compliance, and protect and build their brand affinity. Do this with a combination of software and services that touch the major customer-facing channels like you see here, your advertising, your mobile marketing and sales efforts, cloud platforms if you have those, and of course, your traditional websites. Our services are very comprehensive. We have a combination of professional services and software that automates certain standard processes so we can scan websites and see what's going on with data that's being collected and have legal consultants that are watching the latest regulatory developments for you. Very scalable and flexible with pricing terms that start at a few hundred dollars for small companies and go up to teams of people that can do custom deployments for larger enterprises. Okay. And as I mentioned, here's the trustee seal shown about half a billion times a day across these channels, and actually more if you include the advertising piece to it. And the end result, the benefit to this is uplift. There's a huge amount of marketing uplift that sites see, from 10 to 20% for smaller businesses, 5 to 10% for larger businesses. And for e-commerce sites, it can be even more impressive, where you can see multiplier effects, where you can have up to, 80 or 100% increase in sales, and also revenue per visit increases that can be pretty compelling. Multiply those together, you see a vast boost into sales. And with that, I'll turn it over to Tim to speak more in depth about the e-commerce piece.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this webinar. I wanted to give you a quick background about where we're coming from, our perspective. SiteTuners has been around for about 10 years, and we have a number of conversion improvement-related services. We'll do interactive reviews of your websites, redesign your whole website and give you a blueprint for a higher converting site. We'll also create landing page test plans and also do conversion training, both remote and in-house, as well as ongoing mentoring so you can build up your own skills in this area for your in-house team. But that's not really what you're here to hear about. So I'm going to talk today about your e-commerce catalog and how to turbocharge it. And the best way to do it is to, I think, shatter some myths and step on a few toes and probably offend a few people. So at least that's my current plan. Hopefully you won't complain too loudly. What I want to talk about today is the fact that your e-commerce website is not a catalog. Where do we even get this notion? It's not like this big chunk of useless mail that just arrives on your doorstep and you flip through it at your leisure. It's a website, and the website is coming from a completely different place. People that are interacting with websites have very short attention spans. They're in a highly activated state. They're looking for something. They're not just browsing. They're not sitting there in their easy chair flipping through a catalog. I mean, maybe that's what you do if you're still held hostage on an airplane, and then you have to look through that SkyMall catalog, but not if you're in front of your computer. So I'm going to talk about the fact that you can really quickly fix several of the templates that make up your online catalog or your website and get a huge impact on your conversion rates. Now, the four areas I'm going to talk about are your page shell, and I'll describe that in a little bit, your home page, your search results page, and your product detail page. Now, many of you are going to ask, well, I have problems with my shopping cart and my checkout, and you probably do. Unfortunately, we don't have 4 hours this morning. We only have about 40 minutes left here. So I'm just going to focus in on the head end of the process. Now, when I talk about page shell, what I'm talking about is everything that surrounds your content. It's not even the content on your page, but it's the layout, organization, width of your page, the header, the navigation, everything else. Let me show you some examples of how to do this and how not to do this. Quick question. Anybody want to buy some barbells? Yes, folks, this is an e-commerce catalog, believe it or not. The page shell does not clearly separate where's the content, where's the header, where's the navigation. It's all just one giant site explosion. And by the way, you're not getting the full effect here because you're not seeing it in its full glory on the real site. It actually has blinking text that goes from reverse color to dark on white. It's really just a horrible site. This is the visual equivalent of having somebody shoot an Uzi submachine gun at your face in point-blank range. It just makes you want to hit the back button as soon as you can. Another bad example is actually courtesy of one of our clients before we did any work for him. Now, this is a catalog for selling custom gazebo enclosures, mosquito netting, and adding screening to your sun porch, that sort of thing. And look at this site, and then who are these people and why would you buy from them? It's very poorly organized. It's very unprofessional. Yeah, it's got the cute picture of the kid and the dog up front at the top in the header. But other than that, this might as well be, Fred's sunroomenclosures.com. So when we were done with their site and redesigning it, it looked, hopefully you'll agree, a lot more professional. Of course, we were smart. We kept the picture of the cute kid and the dog. It's actually part of the family, as I understand it. But we also did a lot to kind of clarify the page, to improve navigation on it, and very importantly, to add some trust symbols on the right-hand side, and that most catalogs need trust symbols. And, of course, Andreas has talked about, you know, trustee and transactional trust symbols like that. As you can see in the upper right-hand corner, we have Visa and MasterCard. You need to show your payment methods. That's a given. But in the right column, there are also other types of trust symbols. As you can see there, it says, as seen in Metropolitan Home and HGTV, which is Home and Garden Television, a cable channel, and USA Today and so on. And then you see a kind of a little video clip in that right column there for CBS's Better Living show that featured them. So all of a sudden, you've created trust on the home page, and it's very, very important. Now, how important? Very important. There's a 90% improvement when we relaunched with the new catalog, and actually their capacity for creating these curtains and enclosures was exceeded, and they actually had to throttle back their marketing campaigns because for a while they couldn't handle the business. So just to kind of summarize, on your page shell, the common problems, very common problems, are unprofessional appearance. Don't kid yourself. People will form a first impression of your website in 1/20th of a second. That's what the research shows. It's subliminal, it's automatic, and we all know a cheesy and unprofessional site when we see it. Another problem is lack of trust and credibility. Who are you and why should I transact with you? And then finally, again, Andreas has covered this, I think, very well in his introduction, is lack of transactional safety. So if you're going to fix these problems, what you need to do is create a clean and professional, uncluttered look. If you don't have the resources to do it in-house, or if you did it yourself, or your 15-year-old wunderkid of a web developer nephew did it, you know, there are plenty of professional resources inexpensively out there right now, or you can get a whole site redone for not a lot of money. And also borrow authority and trust and credibility from other people. It's a form of media mentions in the number of customers you have, in the form of payment methods you accept, and transactional trust seals like trustee. The reason that people, you know, buy them, one of the attendees kind of as a, you know, wisecrack in the Q&A, I think it was, said, you know, basically, what is trustee? Well, it's an overpriced seal or something. Well, you know what? There's no such thing as an overpriced seal if it's worth it, if it makes you money. So I take a pretty direct kind of businessman view of this, which is in test after test after test, trust seals like trustee have been shown to outperform sites without them. So it's costing you money if you don't have it. So put it on. And, you know, you just have to see if it makes economic sense for you. In the vast majority of cases, it will. All right, moving on. We talked about the page shell. Let's talk about home pages next. Now, a lot of home pages suffer from the overwhelming amount of choice. Now, this is an example they pulled a couple of years ago from Adorama, which is a big photography supply kind of a place. They have a physical store in New York, and then they have a pretty large online presence, established brand. I'm going to save you the trouble. There are 146 clickable links on this page, just the visible portion that you're seeing here, 146. So what are you supposed to do when you first get there? Are you supposed to pick one of those 12 featured products they have on the page, or right above that section, or to the right, you have all of those ads, and those are, by the way, animated, you know, copiers, printers, faxes? I mean, is that what I'm going to buy from the quote-unquote photography people? Or do I look at the left navigation and go to the 13th item down and, you know, click on underwater? I mean, there's just so many choices. It's crazy. My favorite, actually, on this page is an article in text near the top of the page below that big orange banner that says, "How to Master Dog Photography by Bowser." Yes, folks, that's what I'm there to do. I'm there to read an article about that. I'm not there to buy photographic equipment, God forbid. I'm there to read an article about dog photography. It's just this random stuff, and unfortunately, we clutter up our home pages very commonly. It's kind of death by a thousand cuts. Everybody wants a piece of the real estate. And in isolation, all of your ideas for what's on your home page probably made sense. Hey, why don't we add this? The problem, though, is the overall effect of adding until you just dilute everything, until nothing is left, until there are too many choices and people are paralyzed. So I'm going to show you an example of how to handle this a lot better on a home page. And this is a kind of in the same area. this company B&H Photo. They're kind of more high-end and pro gear, but they carry a huge selection of products as well. And I've kind of grayed out most of the site, and I focused on the middle part there. But if I ask you right now, do these guys carry plasma TVs? I'm sure you could say yes. Laptops? Yeah. SLRs, digital cameras? You'd say, of course. And why is it that it's so obvious? How can you know all this? Well, it's because they've done a great job creating a high-level set of categories. So in the photography one, they have the SLRs with the big lens and the point-and-shoot camera. Under the section for lenses, they have an assortment of lenses. And so what they're doing is they're basically giving you a notion. This is a category, and you can drill down and get closer to your goal. So the crazy complexity, which is still kind of on the periphery of their site and I'm not a huge fan of, has been essentially reduced to clicking on one of those squares in the 4x4 grid and getting you closer to your goal. So you don't have to sell everything on the homepage. You just have to get me off the homepage. We'll talk about that concept a little more. And by the way, one of the biggest problems we find with homepages on catalogs is best illustrated here on Best Buy's homepage. Now, if I asked you, what do these guys do? You've never heard of Best Buy. You just see this page. You probably think, oh, okay, Memorial Day sale. They sell vacuum cleaners and laptops. And then about 2 seconds later, you'd see this page. And I'd ask you again, what do they do? And you'd say, oh, I guess they sell a lot of plasma televisions. Well, that may be true, but wait, there's more. 2 seconds later, you'd be confronted with this homepage, because that banner keeps slipping. And now you'd say, oh, I get it. Best Buy is like, you know, Sears Appliance Central. They have a bunch of appliances. But you'd be wrong, because 2 seconds later it would say, work a little, play a little, save a lot, whatever that means. I guess it's some kind of, you know, Xbox combo if you buy a laptop and a game system together. But wait, we're not done yet, because what they really want you to know is that you can upgrade to a smartphone, otherwise you're going to have to wear a paper bag over your head, apparently in shame. Think about it. What does this company stand for? Nothing. Those rotating banner ads are basically us as marketers abdicating all responsibility and saying we're just going to throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. But the problem with these giant commercials is no one's going to sit still for them. We don't sit still for commercials on TV. We're certainly not going to do it when we're on the Internet and we have the attention span of a lit match. So really, it's the way to think about it is banners are horrible. Rotating banners are even worse. If something is really important, it needs dedicated space on your page. But using animation to keep drawing my eye to your promotion of the moment and expecting that I'll sit still through a sequence that lasts 10 to 15 seconds, that just means you're really kind of out of touch with reality, folks. So stop doing that. Take that prime real estate on your homepage back. But you can also go in the other extreme. Instead of talking about campaigns or high-level categories, you can be product-centered. So here's a former client of ours, Cops Plus, and they had this catalog of various kinds of police gear. And you know, so you can see handcuffs and handcuff holder and a flashlight. But that's not the whole page. Here's the whole homepage. Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard to see because it's so long. Out of all the gear they carry, they decided they're going to feature a long list of about 20 specific items. And that's not how homepages should be used. What you should do is break them down and do it by roles. So, for example, for Cops Plus, we came up with a new homepage concept. And it was to color code and create a number of different stores for the beat cop, the off-duty, the SWAT guys, and even some military. Because you know what? They don't care about each other. And there's a little miscellaneous category in the middle there to represent all the other stuff. But basically, you get off the homepage, and if you're a SWAT guy, you don't care what the off-duty cops are carrying. You want your SWAT gear. And if you're a military guy, you look down on the SWAT guys probably. I'm not sure, but in any case, what you're doing is you're creating a simple choice. Who are you? Raise your hand. Self-select. Get off the homepage. But if you use it again as a commercial, you're in big trouble. So here's a fashion brand that we work with, Ed Hardy. Many of you are probably familiar with their stuff. So this was the homepage of their catalog. And I'd ask you, what is this homepage about? I mean, I think you'd be hard-pressed to tell me. It's just wild, crazy. You know, they have these tattoo-inspired art and graphics on their clothes. But I say if there's something this page is about, it's about really rich, bored kids in L.A. that probably do too many drugs. And that's what it looks like to me. So he said, look, it's a catalog. You have to use it for what it's intended for. So one of the major recommendations I make to you folks is that as you decide on the functionality of your catalog, do it at the level of wireframes. We sat down with them and we mapped it out in an intentionally ugly black and white wireframe format. And we said, look, you have two constituencies showing up here. People that know what they want, that are fashionistas and want to just see your newest arrivals, and people shopping for themselves or others that do it by role. So for that more common second group, you want to just say, who are you shopping for, men, women, or kids? Or do you want to look at new arrivals because you're checking back on our site once a week? And so we all kind of agreed and locked on this this wireframe, and they said, we get it. And this was the mock-up that their internal team came up with after we gave them those instructions. Now I'd ask you, what's this page about? Well, I'd say it's about summer's here. Oh, goody, it's our summer campaign. Well, that's all wonderful, but we completely lost that sense of navigation and what the purpose of the page was. So they have those tiny little shop men, shop women, shop kids links, but they're inside of the giant photo of the ocean and the big image shot. So if you're any kind of brand or consumer catalog, watch the branding. It can kill your conversion rates. It's not about your latest campaign, okay? It's about making it clear for people what they can do on your site. So we said, hey, folks, time out. Go back. Look at your wireframe. And let's get this right. This is what we all agreed on. So after that, this is the final version of the redesigned page that they came up with, and we were completely behind this one because it makes it clear. Who are you shopping for? Men, women, or kids? And down at the bottom, new arrivals, which, by the way, still don't have individual product-level stuff on them, okay? Just categories of things. So to kind of summarize on the homepage problems, the most common ones are too many choices. Folks, too many choices. 146 clickable links is too many choices. Eye-catching commercials, whether they're static giant banners or whether, even worse, rotating banners that just keep drawing your eye by their motion and you're expected to sit through are a really big problem. Featured products or short-term promotions. Again, if you have a catalog with lots of items, any particular one, even if it's your best-selling item, is unlikely to be the thing I'm there looking for at the moment. And short-term promotions that just keep changing, and you know, even if they're relevant to most of the people on the site. So be really careful with your homepage. And I bet you 9 out of 10 of you listening right now probably you're thinking, wow, okay, this is completely the opposite of what we're doing on our homepage. These recommendations are contrary to what everybody else is doing. And I'd say, you know, if you look at your competitors and you try to ape them and copy them, you're going to get what you deserve. Everybody else may be doing it wrong too. So homepage best practices are to be really clear that the purpose of your homepage is self-selected navigation. In other words, let people classify themselves into, you know, groups of who are they, what's their role, or by major product categories that you may have, and get them off the homepage. I mean, I can't make this any clearer. The purpose of your homepage is to get people off your homepage. It's not to establish your brand. It's not to talk about feature promotions, and it's not to sell me crap. It's not to sell me individual items. So no commercials, no individual products. Give me a small and clear set of choices so I can move on and get off the homepage. All right, we're going to be talking next about search results. Now, again, especially if you have any size of the catalog and lots of different items, people are conditioned by Google and just by probably the poor navigation on your catalog to just jump right to the search results and to type in what they want. So let me ask you this, something. Here's a website or web page from Toys R Us. Do you know what this is? What does this page represent? I have no idea. Unless you spend a lot of time looking, and I'm going to enlarge it for you, it would say home, search, puzzles. Okay, apparently this is the search results page for puzzles on the Toys R Us site. Okay, and Well, how many are there? Well, turns out there are actually 2,499 matching items. Would you like to view all? That's the funniest link of all. Hey, want to see the four across, all 2,499 of them? Sure, just press that button, and you'll have a page that scrolls on forever. So do you see how the problem with this search results page, there are two big problems. One is I don't know what it's about. It doesn't have a title. It doesn't say, your search results for puzzles returned 2,499 results. Okay. The second problem is there are, again, not too many choices. I mean, are you kidding me? 2,400 results? I'm glad you have a deep catalog, but help guide me. Help guide me. Help me find the answer. Am I really going to slog through 2,400 results? No. Do you know how many people click past the first page of search results on Google? About 5%. So if you're on the first page, this is a well-known fact for search engine optimization, you know, you might as well be invisible because 19 out of 20 people won't click through the second page. And that's true on your homepage catalog as well, or rather on your search results of your own catalog as well. In other words, whatever shows up on that page right now above the fold is about the only thing I'm going to look for. So if you want the rest of your product line to be discoverable or useful to me, you can't do it like this. You can't just say, I'm going to throw up all over you, and you just slog through page by page and look at these till you go cross-eyed, and then maybe you'll find what you want. That's not a good search experience. All right, let's talk about other ways to mess up search or by counterexample how to fix it. Okay, this is a pen catalog. Hey, is it clear to everybody on this search results page which pen you should go and investigate? No, because they all look like skinny little sausages. Some of them are slightly different colors, but they basically look identical. What do I base things on? By looking at them? No. By reading all that text below each one? Well, not likely. What if you were actually helpful to them? Even in a thing like this where you have bland pens, right? Not super exciting, not much to differentiate them. What if you took the time to create images like the one on the right where you have the whole pen, but then you also have a little close-up of the writing end and of the back end of the pen enlarged. Now I have something, a meaningful distinction to drill down on and to find products. So the product image on the left was worse than useless. Many of you have thumbnails that are, you know, poor production quality, different backgrounds, tiny, fuzzy, irregular shape. I mean, some are wide, some are tall. Really take the care to have great product images. But we're not done with search yet. One of the worst things about search is the one part of your site and the one part of your catalog that, you know, is written by technical people, in effect. I mean, think about it. It's technical stuff. Well, you know, we need to filter stuff in our catalog and find all men's shoes that are size 10 and wide and in silver and between these, you know, in this price range. Well, the programmers had to get involved with that. So I was looking at Zappos.com, and this was their search experience, right? I was looking for, you know, looked like to me a pretty reasonable search. Oh, except this was the page I got when I had the search results, you know, when I hit that search button. Sorry, no results found. Please try a different combination of searches. Now, if you know what that means, you got me. It was obviously written by a programmer, okay, not by anybody that cares about human beings. Okay, so very unfriendly error message. It made me think that I was an ass, that I had done something wrong, you know, and then it instructed me in this very vague thing, try a different combination of searches. What does that mean? Okay, well, invest more of my time in the unlikely event that your search engine works better than it did this time. That's not exactly encouraging. But, you know, it's a lot worse. Look at the bottom of the page. Hey, would you like fries with that? We got free spam for you. Just enter your email address, and we'll give you weekly or daily updates about men's shoes in your size. Are you kidding me? So you made me feel bad. You didn't give me what I wanted, and then you're trying to get me on your spam list? This is just a horrible search experience. So how could you have made this kind of stuff better? Well, this is just kind of one that we, you know, designed. One of the keys to search is you have to get me down to a much smaller set of choices before you even reveal product-level information. So Your search for men's athletic shoes returned 12,000 matching items. Would you like to? And here's your choice. Refine your search based on the search parameters you haven't yet specified, or see all 1,200 results. No one's going to want that. They're going to refine their search. And so when you get me down to a reasonable number of choices, when you get me down to a single screen full of results, you know, 3 to 20 or whatever, then show them to me. Then I can go through them one at a time. But until then, it's pretty much useless. So don't just throw everything at me. So basically, the common problems with search are there are actually no page titles or restatement of what I actually searched for. Too many crazy results displayed, and the images are often very poor and don't help guide me or make the choice of what to drill down on. There's no easy way to narrow my search, and the functionality of the search itself and the error messaging around it is very, very primitive. So if you want to fix all that, have clear page titles that echo what I just looked at. Give me an information scent to follow. Don't put too many items on each page. Use clear professional images. If you have to go reshoot them, even you don't have to do your whole catalog, but use the rule of 80-20. Just go clean up the images of the best sellers, and that'll get you a lot of the way there. It's going to be a tiny subset of your product line. If you have complex searches, you might consider also using a wizard that guides you through with a few plain language questions down to a reasonable set of choices. And that goes to the last point, which is don't show products too early in the process. All right, well, we talked about page shell, homepage, and search. There's one other topic I want to leave you with, and that is the product detail page. And by the way, it's not just small companies that mess this kind of stuff up. I'm going to pick on a big one. Most of you have probably heard of 1-800-Flowers. They're huge. I think they do about $1 billion a year in sales, and 300 million of it just through their online catalog, last I heard. So this is a product detail page on their site. You know, you're thinking, yeah, big deal. Think about it. Product detail page is probably the most important page on your site because without a product detail page, nothing gets added to the cart. Okay? In other words, you have to go through a page just like this to give me your money. Okay? And so let's take a look at this. Now, what do they want you to do on this page? It should be pretty clear, right? But I would challenge any of you to find what you're actually supposed to do and how you interact with this page. Is it to look at that big pink banner on top to take you off to another page on the site? Well, maybe it's to look at that giant rose in the green section just to make it clear that you're in the roses category in case you're really out to lunch. Or is it to look at the little florist lady with the bouquet? Well, actually, what they want you to do is to press that very light violet button near the bottom center of the page. Can you believe that? That's the call to action. And I bet it wasn't clear to you either when you first looked at the page and you had to hunt around and really try and care, which, by the way, your audience doesn't. Your audience doesn't care. They just are on to the next thing. If you don't make it easy for them, they don't care. So as a design exercise, what we did is we were tasked to come up with a redesigned product detail page that would make the call to action clearer. And here's what we came up with. Now, I hope you'll agree this page is a lot cleaner. It's got a page title, a giant hero shot of the flowers, and then an action block on the right that says customize your order with a big fat view delivery dates button on it, which is the next step in the process. Now, another way to kind of describe this and the problem with the last page and the advantage of this page is by looking at it through the prism of our Attention Wizard software. Now, this is software that we develop which predicts where someone's going to look on a landing page. In other words, you don't need real people. You can just upload a screenshot or even a mock-up of a page you haven't deployed yet and kind of predict, create some hot spots of where attention's going to go on the page. So this is what Attention Wizard is predicting will get looked at on the original 1-800-Flowers product detail page. A big hot spot is on the flower bouquet. Great. Okay, that's where you want attention. That's the hero shot. That's your product. It's very visual. It's what they're buying. But all of the other hot spots are on other visually interesting parts of the page, the giant rose, the florist, the flowers up top in the banner, another bouquet in the lower left. None of the predicted attention is going to the light violet button near the lower right corner. None of it. The call to action is completely unclear on first inspection. So, you know, we very carefully fine-tuned our new design, and you'll see what it looks like through the eyes of Attention Wizard, which, by the way, you know, you're welcome to try. Just go to attentionwizard.com and sign up for the trial. But take a look at this. You have a lot of attention on the flower bouquet. In fact, we made it bigger, and we wanted the attention there. But the only other thing that you focus on is the big fat green button that says, you know, view delivery dates. Okay, you see how we've made it just so simple. I call this the mother-in-law test, by the way. If your mother-in-law could understand, you know, the purpose of your landing page, then it's simple enough. Otherwise, you're just losing a bunch of money. By the way, I love my mother-in-law dearly, so hope she's listening. All right, let me show you another example. How about this? This is another one of our clients, Canon. Now, this is from their Canadian catalog, and this is a product detail page. Well, what are you supposed to do on this page? Look, there is a camera, but then there's your eye gets pulled off to the lower left with these various promotions that are running. The add to cart button is tiny and in white on the right-hand side, and then there's this care pack thing, I guess extended warranty. I mean, it's really unclear what you're supposed to do on this page. So, again, as part of our redesign of their catalog, we created a wireframe of what should be on a product detail page, and the basis for it, here's what it looks like on the live site, was a clear product shot and in a call, and an action block on the right outlined in yellow and one single big red button that made it clear what you do. And that should be how you design your product detail pages. Again, very, very carefully control the focus and the visual attention on the page. Okay, just a couple more tips on product detail pages that I think you'll find helpful. I like a lot of stuff that REI does. One of the things that they do really well is incorporate social media features. One of the things we look at when we're buying especially consumer products that are widely available is social proof, as Robert Cialdini calls it. This is a known persuasion technique. In other words, if a lot of people, just like me, have used this item or bought it and had a good outcome, that serves as a shortcut to my own decision-making. And so take a look at how they do that on their site. What they do is, you look at the highlighted area here, they have product reviews and ratings. You could just as easily, you know, write your own review there. You could like it on Facebook. This was before the days of the Google Plus One button. I'm sure that's there now. You can share it, email it to a friend, bookmark it. So those are all ways that make it really easy for you to circulate and socialize it. And it increases the likelihood if somebody sees that there are lots of reviews, in this case, looks like 84 reviews of this backpack, and it's gotten 4.5 stars. Well, you know, that's pretty good. That means it works. You know, I don't have to think too hard or think too much about it. Another thing, and I talked about this earlier on the search results page, is you want great product images. So when I zoomed in on the backpack, I didn't just get something twice as big. I got this huge zoomable, scrollable area. And it was done, again, this is a physical product. If you have these, they probably took a 3,000 DPI resolution shot, and basically a very fine detailed shot of the product. Because when I zoom in, I want to see every buckle, every little pull tab, every zipper, the material, how thick it is, how stretchy it is, and I can actually get that. It's a qualitatively different experience if you let me zoom to this level with a nice professionally lit product shot. So if you're selling physical objects, make sure that you really, really take the time to either get them from the manufacturer or shoot your own if you have to, again, at least for your best-selling items, to get really nice zoomed-in versions. So just to kind of sum up with the product detail pages, common problems are an unclear call to action. You try to pile on so much stuff that you don't even know that the add to cart button is the important thing on it. Lack of social proof. Who else has bought this item and had a good experience? I want to hear from them. And unattractive product images. And all of these can be cured very easily. Basically, have a clear call to action block on the, you know, near the upper right of your page. Include popularity and social proof. Give very detailed information. At the bottom of the page, you can have tabs that say, you know, product description, reviews, accessories, care instructions, whatever you need. And give as much information as the person wants. This is the page where you want to have a lot of information, not at the top of the page, though. And always use very high-quality images of your products. So that's all I got. We talked about page shell, homepage. We talked about search results and the product detail. Hopefully you've gotten a couple of nuggets that you can put to use. And before we jump into the Q&A, I just want to extend a special offer to the folks on the webinar. We do online interactive express reviews of landing pages. We'll go through a structured review. We'll answer all your questions. We'll record it all on a video for you to share with your team or reference later. And you're welcome to sign up online. And if you buy one, I will do the first reviews personally here, the first three that come across with, you know, I guess in the comment field you could put trustee webinar and Tim Ash, and then I will do them myself. Hopefully that's an incentive and not a disincentive. If you want to reach me, I'm very accessible. Just feel free to reach out or connect with me on LinkedIn or Facebook. And you know, finally, just want to shout out anybody headed to the East Coast in October. Hope to see you at our Conversion Conference, which is the biggest conference in the industry, just about improving your online conversions. So with that, I'm just going to throw it back over to Melissa, and yep. I guess we're ready to get started with the Q&A.
Yep, definitely. Thanks a lot, Tim. As usual, great information. We have a lot of questions here, so I just – okay. So the first one is about trust symbols, and since that's kind of what we talked about right at the beginning, the listener was wondering if, you know, it's a good idea to have them on every page as opposed to just having them above the fold and on the home page.
Thanks, Melissa. Yeah. I can take a first stab at it, and Tim, you could add if you'd like. We definitely recommend trust symbols of various shapes and sizes where you have a lot of people hitting your site, so the bigger landing pages, maybe the home page of your site. And as a general rule, the smaller your brand or the newer the company, the more prominent you should place them. But at a minimum, you know, your landing pages, the front of your store, places where people are going to engage and exchange information with you is probably a good starting point.
I would say that, you want to put them actually earlier in the process than you expect. For example, so if it's in an e-commerce context, I don't want to find out your trust symbols inside of your cart, because if I'm not influenced to put stuff in the cart, then it's too late. So, you know, you want to put your payment methods and trust symbols probably in the page shell. We recommend in the header above the fold, definitely near the upper right-hand corner is a good spot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Let's see. I'll move on to some more. Let's see. I thought this was an interesting question. It's kind of a specific question, but I still thought it was interesting. This listener is working on an e-commerce website redesign, and the product that is being sold is sold on two directly opposite vertical markets, although the products are the same. How would you handle that on a homepage in order to, you know, target the two separate target markets?
Well, what I think I heard is that it's the same product that can be applied in two different categories or
right.
situations.
Right.
So I'd say you know, at the homepage, you have them drilled down by category or intended use or whatever that means in your world. And it's okay to duplicate the product in more than one place on the site when you get lowered down into the site to the subcategory level or the individual product level. It's okay to put it in more than one place in your hierarchy or product tree.
Okay,
put it wherever it's applicable, basically.
One person had a question about a comment that you made, which is you don't want to promote specific products on your homepage. The listener was curious as to why.
Well, think about it this way. If you have a large catalog, even, again, your bestseller probably represents only 1% of your total sales. Say, buy this. Well, you know, 99% of people showing up on your homepage are looking for something else. So you're just basically guessing. Instead of guessing, guide them. Get them off the homepage to a more relevant conversation. You get me to the right category, you're doing me a favor. You drill down to a subcategory, now I'm getting very close. And then in that context, I'll be fine looking at individual products. It's not like, but I'm self-directing to get to those products instead of you having to guess. And you're going to mm-hmm. be wrong whenever you guess. That's really the main point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. A couple of questions about color. One listener was wondering about the color red and how she was concerned that perhaps red might mean stop to people as opposed to using it as an action button. Do you have any comments there?
Yeah, well, colors are tricky. Yeah, we have our own personal biases about them. There's some built-in things. You know, all the fast food people use oranges and reds to stimulate appetite. That's a well-known effect. Use calming colors in hospitals. So there's a lot of color theory stuff that we try to bring to bear. But there are no absolutes. I'd say what's more important is not the actual color, but the contrast of it with the color scheme of the rest of the page. So it's how noticeable is it on the page. For example, if you use predominantly blue color theme, you might go to the opposite color part of the color wheel and use orange as an accent color. So as long as it's different, it's not the actual color. I mean, we've seen red both work well and blow things up. If it's part of your brand color, like in the Canon example I showed you, or we've also done it, work with Red Envelope or Verizon Wireless, it's their brand colors. Actually, red
right.
buttons seem to work pretty well. And
right.
other places, yeah, they definitely have a negative effect.
Yeah,
so that's one of those tested kind of things.
Yeah, and that's probably for another listener who was wondering about colors for navigation buttons based on her demo, which is men and women 35 plus 60-40 with disposable income. So I don't know if you can sort of, if you have any universals around that.
No, I'm afraid I don't think there's anything that'll get down to that specific that I'm aware of. I'm sorry.
Right. It just sounds like you should just, you know, think about your whole scheme and what looks good, I guess.
Yeah, you should usually have one primary call to action on each page if it's in the form of a button. So even if you have other buttons on the page, like a search button that stays in your page shell, the primary call to action button should be the big, distinct, single button that people notice.
Okay. How about this? This is sort of a general question. How many steps to buy is optimal? Is there any stats around that, or do you have any anecdotes on that?
The answer is yes.
Oh, great.
No, there's no right answer. There's some websites that do really well if it's a long buying process of chunking it into bite-sized chunks, each on an individual screen or even a light box popover sequence. Others where you just say one-step checkout, and even though it's a significantly longer form, people know that there are no surprises up ahead. I think if you do a multi-step process, you'd definitely say, make it clear with breadcrumbs or kind of navigation aids, how many steps there are, what they are, and what step you're on, and have the ability to go back and back up. There's no right answer. I'd say there's kind of a middle ground. I've seen success with single page. I've seen success with multi-step. What you don't want to do is fall into that kind of that middle of two or three steps.
Okay.
Where you still have a lot of information on each page and multiple screens.
Okay. Let's see. I thought this was an interesting question also. Where's the best place to showcase follow us on Twitter or Facebook? I mean, that's obviously an issue now. And, you know, I'm sure it's on people's minds. What makes the best spot?
Well, I would say in your page shell, it should be there, but probably in the footer, not something that's super prominent. It's unlikely that somebody's going to say, I love your company and I love your catalog. What they're probably going to be sharing and socializing, and say, use the camera example again, is a particular model. Okay, I'm interested in buying this camera. Let me post it on Facebook and see what my friends think. Okay, then that's a group buying decision, or I get immediate feedback. Or I really like this and I just bought this and I'm kind of bragging, hey, look at what I did. So it's much more likely to work on the product detail page, and it should go just below the big hero shot or image of the product. And just have a little ribbon of, you know, just don't go crazy, just like the, you know, Facebook and the Google Plus One, just to share with an email, that kind of thing.
Okay. Just some questions on navigation pages versus home pages and landing pages versus home pages. I mean, maybe you could just kind of, because there's a lot of different kinds of questions, maybe it would be best if you could just sort of explain to people the differences in your mind between like a home page and a landing page.
Well, you bring up a great point. In my book, Landing Page Optimization, unfortunately, that phrase was used by Google and became very popular. I just prefer actually the term nowadays of conversion rate optimization. So you're trying to improve the efficiency of whatever it is. But my definition of a landing page is pretty broad. It could be an individual standalone page. could be a page on a microsite that's specifically designed for a campaign of some kind, or it could be a page on your site somewhere. Now, of course, homepage is a very important landing page, but anywhere where a lot of traffic lands on its way to important conversion goals that have economic value for your company, that's a landing page. And what you try to do is optimize everything from the place where they land to where the conversion happens. That whole path, even if it's multiple pages, is ripe for optimization, and we consider them to be landing pages.
Right. So it's really just a terminology kind of thing, in a way. You're saying? Or?
Yeah. I'd say, don't think of landing pages as just standalone pages. That's
yes.
The point.
Got it. Okay, great. We have a couple more questions about the symbol, the trust symbol. So, a couple of folks wanted to know how to go about getting it, so I can just forward those on to trustee. But one was wondering about the trust symbols in the footer. Does that work?
It's much less effective. Even people are more used to scrolling. We have the little scrolly wheel on our mice these days. In the old days, very few people scrolled. But even now, to get to the bottom of a scrolling page, is only about 15% are going to do that. So if you're putting it in the footer, you're basically guaranteeing 85% of the audience isn't going to see it. So we strongly recommend that you pick one or two of the most important trust symbols for your kind of area or your catalog. And put them, definitely above the fold, usually near the upper right of the header.
Okay, great. We have time for one more, and I think I'm going to ask this one, which to me is sort of like the holy grail of website conversion. How do you find a balance for SEO content with a focus on conversions?
I ask that a lot, and the short answer is SEO has really changed. In the early days, it all used to be about what was on the page and gaming the system with your content and your meta tags and stuffing keywords. Then it moved much more to link-based authority. If important trusted sources are linking to you, then you must be credible. And now it's even moved more towards social media and signals like that, which is why Google originated their +1 button, so they could start collecting information like that. So from what I understand, the importance of what's actually on your homepage is only about a quarter to a third of your overall kind of juice is coming from your on-page stuff. So don't be paralyzed by not changing anything on the page because you're afraid it'll blow up your SEO.
Right.
The basic answer is you can serve both masters. At the top of the page, you should have a clear experience for your visitors, and near the bottom of the page, and again, if you cleverly construct your pages, that'll be the first text that the spiders see. You can have all of your SEO text.
Okay, great. Well, I think that's about all we have time for. But again, we will send the rest of the questions over to Tim, and he'll be happy to answer them. But it looks like we're just about out of time. So on behalf of Retail Online Integration and Trustee, I want to thank you all for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. So I hope to see you all at the next ROI webinar. Thanks a lot. And thanks also, obviously, so much to Tim and Andreas for a great presentation. Thanks, everybody. Bye.